Welcome to the Maria Heller Show. On the net since 2000 and still going strong. If you feel like you're not getting the real news, if you feel like you're not connected spiritually, you have found your home. Maria covers a wide range of topics as only a snarky New Yorker can. Straight up, no chaser. No censorship, no corporate sponsors, thus true freedom of speech. Your subscription gives you unlimited access as a member of the smartest audience on earth. Relax and enjoy the education. Now here's Maria.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to the show. Today we have a treat. We have Bev Conover back with us. She's the publisher. She's an excellent journalist of IntrepidReport.com. If you're not aware of it, I don't even know how that could be after 22 years. But get over to IntrepidReport.com. Well, you laugh, Bev. Good morning, Bev. But, you know, many people...
Good morning, Maria.
A lot of people say the same thing to me, you know. I never heard of your show, and I'm like, hello, I've been doing it for 20 years online, 2 years offline. But
I've been doing it 22 years.
Right, but better late than never. So welcome to the show, and happy 2020 to you.
Oh, thank you.
I got to tell you, you know, when I was a kid, I did look forward... And in the knowledge that I'd still be alive in the year 2000. But I don't know that I ever predicted I'd still be here in 2020. So
why not?
I don't know. It's just, well, maybe because my father always told me somebody would kill me before I was 21 because of my mouth. So I guess that I'm living on borrowed time and my mouth hasn't stopped. I used to say one day somebody might rip that tongue right out of your mouth. I was about 15 when he told me that. But luckily, he never crushed my spirit. He was my greatest supporter. He was my greatest educator. So I was very, very fortunate. And I got to tell you, I feel sorry for kids today because so many of them grow up without one of their parents.
Oh, I'm telling you, yes, it's a mess.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know about you, but I feel like I've been alive forever, like that song Barry Manilow wrote a long time ago. And when I look at what has changed and occurred in just my lifetime, it's amazing to me, Bev.
Well, what can I say?
Yeah, when I tell my kids I was around when TV first came out, they go into shock. You know what I mean? When I tell them what you could do.
I think that once we hit 2000, people would have awakened.
Right.
And they would be more informed. And yeah, right.
Exactly.
Oh,
we're gonna have flying.
We're having another dark age.
I think so too. I think we're going into another dark age and another ice age. So we're living in interesting days, and I'm like, okay, I guess we'll have to sit back and see what's coming for 2020. Now, for a lot of my new listeners, you may not be aware, Bev and I have done a year-end wrap-up show. God, it's got to be almost all 20 years, Bev.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're still here. Bev's still working hard. I'm still working hard. There's still some people that didn't buy in. There are still some people in what used to be called the alternative news that didn't support Donald Trump, that aren't still supporting Donald Trump. It amazes me to see how people I used to respect, Bev, followed their work for over 15 years, how they self-destructed when Trump ran for office by jumping on his bandwagon.
There's two questions. Oh, people should question everything, but two particular questions they should ask themselves. Every time they're told that this country or that country is an enemy or an adversary, asks, what did they do to us?
Right. Absolutely.
And the answer would be nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and the second question they should ask themselves, who benefits?
Absolutely.
Not the people.
Exactly.
Not the people.
Well, you know, you remind me of my...
I was just discussing a little while ago. I had MSNBC on, and Ruth Marcus from the Washington Post over the weekend shootings, or you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, right? Shootings, stabbings, you name it.
Right. She backed up and saying... Trump shouldn't be blamed for this. He is the one has stirred all the nutcases up.
Absolutely. They use his words in courts of law as defense.
Oh, God.
And thank God, you know, Intrepid Report, you know, your writers, which are all excellent, none of them have jumped on the Trump bandwagon. So
no.
I'm like, well, the site still holds, you know, 100% in my view. And I don't want to mention the names of the other sites because that's not who I am. But watching
well,
them...
Well, I'm with you there.
Yeah, but watching
try
them,
not to go after
you
them.
You know, watching them go down, watching them pay lawsuit after lawsuit, you know, watching them get torn to pieces on social media. And I'm like, you know, these are some of the very same people I warned off air that they were on the wrong side of history. And it was useless, Bev. It was like, I don't know, it's
well,
like
we
this...
we call those limited hangouts. They go just so far, then they pull back.
Well, you know, listen, so. A lot of people have their favorites on MSM, you know, whether it's Rachel Maddow, you can go all the way to Noam Chomsky. And when I look at these people, I'm still asking the same questions. Why aren't they covering 9/11? Why have they never told the truth about 9/11?
What? There's so much they haven't told the truth about.
I know.
And I mean, all these years later, even going all the way back to the Kennedy assassination,
mm-hmm.
they've never told the truth about it.
Of course not. So, you know, if people want to trust them, you know, when I see their ads, you know, the most trusted news source in America or the most trusted journalist in America, and I'm like, well, that's not saying much. But, you know, this morning we wake up to the news that our embassy in Iraq was bombed, the embassy in
Baghdad. And Trump immediately shoots his mouth off that Iran did it. Absolutely no proof, but Iran did it.
Exactly.
I mean, this is...
Well,
what can I say?
It's the same crap Bush gave us after 9/11, that it was Iraq and Afghanistan that had nothing really to do with 9/11. But, Right, and they were all in bed with the Saudis, who, you know, was proven had a lot to do with 9/11. And now we're renting out our troops to Saudi Arabia under this lunatic. So my question is, because everybody's posting online this morning, is Trump going to use this as an excuse to go to war, as an excuse to cancel the election? Or maybe take the heat off his impeachment?
That's a good question.
It is a good question.
I'm sorry, I can't help but laugh.
But you know, all I could think of...
Insane.
I know, all I could think of this morning was Benghazi. You know, think about the lies we were told on Benghazi. How many investigations on Benghazi? And here, right in our face, once again, we have this happening in Baghdad, which, of course, we created. Let's never leave that out. We went in bombing willy-nilly because, you know, he had another private conversation with Vladimir Putin. And again, you know, I saw on his Twitter account this morning how he was bragging about saving Putin's country from terrorist attacks. And I'm like, yeah, but he's encouraging terrorism here at home. And I
don't, you know, I have a hard time with that. What would he gain? I mean, Putin is not a stupid man. He's quite brilliant. And I just have a difficult time with that. You know, historically, Russia's always been bashed. And what does Putin want? Putin wants to have some peace with the West and where everybody can benefit. Would I like to live in Russia? Maybe not.
Right.
But that's not the issue. That's not for us to decide. That's for the Russians to decide what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think people, those who get all their so-called news from television,
right.
they're getting their heads filled with garbage, propaganda.
Well, Putin's made it very clear he wants to be dictator for life in Russia. You know, you see how he goes against his enemies or anybody that speaks out against him.
Well, what has Russia ever done to us?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
Listen, they've been the boogeyman since I was a little girl. But, you know, we also have to look at the fact now, though, that Russia is eyeing Cuba as a military base. And I, when I read that, I said, are we going back to 1962? Yeah. And what was so wrong with opening up Cuba to America, which Trump has also crushed?
Why was Cuba ever cut off?
That's the other question.
Initially, when Castro took over Cuba, we loved him. Remember, he came to New York and everything else. And all of a sudden, it's like I discovered that, oh, he's a Marxist. Boom. No. I mean, look at the mess we're looking at now. Trying to overthrow Maduro in Venezuela.
Right. And Rudy Giuliani right in the middle of that, too.
Mm-hmm. Bolivia, another mess. That fascist that's running Brazil right now.
Right.
It is us. We are the rogue nation, unfortunately.
Well, it's
and this is the
that.
Thing that I think Americans have a hard time with.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to look at it.
Well, I mean, I think one of the very first shows I ever did was on U.S. foreign policy. You know, remember when George Bush was saying, why do they hate us? And I'm like, if Americans knew what our foreign policy has always been, they would understand why they hate us. But everybody wants to think that, you know.
All the damn corporations, how many years ago now, go down to Mexico, open up factories down there, exploit the workers in the most awful conditions. Mm-hmm. Then when the workers would get sick or died, they didn't care. You know, it was like, we could hire some more of them. I say they'd stop coming across the border if we reeled in the doggone corporations.
Right. Well, I think NAFTA was a crusher for Mexico, and you got Clinton to blame for that. But now they rolled out a new version of NAFTA where the workers will suffer even worse.
Well, Clinton was impeached, in my book, for the wrong thing. He should have been impeached. But yeah, signing NAFTA was one. Mm-hmm. All the awful crime bills he signed. Mm-hmm. No, we are... Oh, God. You know, all of our lives, we've always heard that government should be run like a business. Well, government is not a business. Government is there to serve us. Look at the...
Well, that's hard to believe in this day and age where they're slashing away our freedoms, slashing away our coverage, want to go after Medicaid, Social Security, food stamps, you name it. And Americans sit back and wring their hands instead of wringing these people's necks. It's just amazing to me. And I constantly, God, since I started this show, Bev, I keep saying, what's it going to take for Americans to wake up? And with all the horrific stories you and I have covered through the years, you would think something would have hit a nerve. But so far, nothing. Crickets, as they say.
Another thing they want to go after now, it's the post office. They want to privatize it. This is insanity.
I know.
I was looking that up the other night because it's in the Constitution that Congress would provide for the mail and the rural mail roads.
Mm-hmm.
And they're claiming that that doesn't stop them from privatizing this.
It's not.
Can you imagine the nightmare that is going to be?
Absolutely. Well, here's the other thing. You know, I was watching a news report with my granddaughter, and they were talking about these, they called them package pirates. They say they're stealing like 2 million packages off people's front doors every day, okay? So I watched the news piece, and the cops are saying the best way to make sure your packages are safe, have them sent to the police department. So
yeah, can you imagine if that really happened?
Right. And I said...
suddenly the police department's all filled up with packages?
Right. So I said to my granddaughter, they already have something for that. It's called the post office. You know? And she says, oh, Grandma, no wonder you have a P.O. box. But there's many reasons I have a P.O. box. But I said, you know, it's another way of slighting the post office, who could use the money. It's the same thing as Ellen Brown has written about for so long, to bring banking back to the post office. You know, it would be good for
exactly.
the poor. It'd be good for
the
post
the other
office.
Night too, up until about the late 1960s, you still had the post office savings accounts, where people could put up to $500. Imagine they were paying them 2% interest.
Right, just more than we're getting now.
But that had to go. Not me.
Right, you know, listen, young people, first of all, Bev, young people have no idea even what regular banking is. They have no idea of how to navigate something as simple as the post office, how to address an envelope, or how to write a check. So for my own granddaughter, she's amazed. To her, it's an amazing, it's like taking them to the zoo. Okay, she's amazed at all the things that you can do in a post office. Okay. Because remember, these kids grew up with their gadgets. They grew up with their phone in their hand. Everything's digital. Their money's digital. Everything they do is digital.
Well, everything they've grown up with in the past 20, 30 years, when we start putting metal detectors in the schools, then now we've got armed guards. I can't imagine going to school with an armed guard in the school. Mm. But to them, this is normal. I mean, this is what they've known all their lives. Mm-hmm. And here's the problem. And then we try to shut them up from speaking out because they're going to upset somebody. I mean, what?
I know. It's really crazy. And it's even worse for the children that were born after 9/11.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking at 18, 19-year-old
right.
kids. They only know living in this.
Soon they'll be 20 years old.
I know. And the war still goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And for what?
This is what, to them, this is normal.
Well,
now, how do we break through that?
I have no idea. I think the only way to break through it is maybe we just need to have an EMP hit where everybody loses their devices. And actually has to go back to learning how to really live. Yeah.
I don't know. Florida, I don't know if they're going to drop the bill in the hopper or not, wanted to put in a bill to make it mandatory to teach kids civics in school. The parents had a fit.
What?
How are you supposed to be an informed citizen when you don't even know how the government works?
I don't understand how they could be against that, but their parents are probably in that gap between when you and I went to school and their children, because civics was, it was a regular class in your schedule. You know, we had to get up, we did debates, we did essays, you know, we gave speeches, I mean. But to these kids don't know anything. You know, listen, I live in a very small town, and a lot of times I see the cops pull over somebody young in their car. And then the next thing I see is the cops going through their cars. And I'm like, those kids don't even know they have a right to say, you can't search my car.
Well, this has gone on for years where they'll take the Bill of Rights and strip off the numbers and show it to people, and they'll think it's communist.
Well, you remember after 9/11 when the FBI put out their How to Spot a Terrorist pamphlet. One of the things was they carry or talk too much about the Constitution. You know, people have short memories. I don't. I remember that. They even considered vegetarians terrorists. That was on their list, too. So, I mean, up is down, down is up. But, Bev, I did want to ask you, because you have more experience. You've been in the game longer than me. So I know that you probably know more and have covered more Nixon's impeachment. And when you look at Nixon's impeachment, you know, I mean, Clinton's impeachment I'm pretty up on. But when you look at Nixon and you compare this impeachment today against Donald Trump, what's your views on it? What is your view on this whole impeachment?
Initially, when Watergate became public, both the people and the media at the time, the corporate media, okay, because already the corporations were buying up the media, treated it as a joke, that it was a third-rate burglary. Mm-hmm. But as they finally got to the impeachment hearings themselves, and as the stuff started coming out, what was going on, and then you remember Alexander Butterfield talking about the taping system that they had in the White House. Mm-hmm. That finally turned the people against Nixon. Now, what we've got now, Nancy Pelosi has sort of blown it. I don't know what the hell, I mean, and she's not a stupid woman. Mm-hmm. I don't particularly cotton to her, but that's okay. She should have let the hearings go on and bring out more of this stuff. I mean, you could have gotten him on the emoluments clause right there.
Right. Well, I'm sure, I don't
know. I mean,
know.
This guy is a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
He's not playing with a full deck, which makes him very dangerous. You don't know what the hell he's going to do next.
Right.
So here we are now. Oh, yes, she's playing as brilliant a game as she can under the circumstances by withholding the impeachment documents from the Senate. Now we've got that other criminal over in the Senate, McConnell, who's playing his own game. He thinks he's going to rush this through and acquit Trump.
Right.
Trump needs to go.
Well, you know, I know...
Then we wound up with Pence. Mm-hmm. We can probably survive a year with Pence.
Right, but I doubt we can survive another year under Trump.
I don't know. I mean, the man just gets worse and worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I haven't looked at his Twitter account today. I guess he blew off again this morning.
Well, today was rigged.
It makes no sense.
Today was rigged.
And you have that many psychiatrists now, mm-hmm, who are saying this man has a mental problem.
Right. Right. Well, you know, this morning
and
he was
slurring his words. There's another thing. There's something going on with him.
Well, some people have posited that he's been having small mini strokes. You remember, what was it? A month ago when they took him into Walter Reed. But nobody ever told us why. And why would they have to take him there for what he said was his annual physical, which wasn't
right.
due until February.
Oh.
As if they don't have top doctors in the White House.
Well, certain people have observed that he was having problems with his left arm. Mm-hmm. And with his left leg, the way he was walking.
All right.
So I don't know. Right now, I guess he's out playing golf.
Well, I think that they posted a stat this morning that he has spent one out of every 5 days playing golf.
Yeah.
But you know what? At this
point, American taxpayer, 296 years of a presidential salary playing golf. $118 million.
Right.
Can you believe this?
Well, do you remember how he slammed Obama for playing golf?
Yeah.
But his cost of golf in 3 years, they say, was equal to Obama's in eight.
Yeah.
So, you know, listen, I mean, you can go all the way back to Roosevelt, you know, when he was running for office. He did not want people to know that he was a golfer because he said people would look at them as elitist, which, of course, they are. Okay, let's face it, golf is a rich man's game. And now it's like, I guess, in order to qualify, you got to play golf. And I kind of liked it when Pete Buttigieg was getting attacked in one debate for being an elitist. And he says, me, I don't even play golf. I thought it was a cute little dig.
Well, I don't trust him as far as I can see him, is another one.
Well, I mean, you know, we talked briefly.
I know. Well, I played a lot of golf, too.
Mm-hmm. I used to play golf. I don't know that I would call it playing, but it was
for
business.
But I don't think it was costing us the kind of money that Trump is costing us.
No, it's like he just thinks our tax dollars are a piggy bank for him and his family and his... And the people he pays off. I mean, he's paid off 44 people in the Senate. And nobody's talking about that. You know, I want to go back to something you said a little while ago, how Nancy Pelosi could have hit him with so many other charges, including the emoluments. You know, Ralph Nader put out a great piece a few weeks ago. And, I mean, he listed every charge that they could be using against Trump. And he was stunned that they're not using it.
Yes. Yes.
So now they talk about, well, there might be another second impeachment behind this one. I'm like, second? There could be a million. You know, why are they taking this one issue at a time? This isn't about one issue. We have a mental case running the country into the ground. You know, I mean, when Obama came in, listen, you know how I felt about Obama. But after George W. and what he did to this country and the economy, I said, this guy's going to need a magic wand to fix everything that's going on. But anybody that comes in after Trump, I mean, where did they start? They're starting at worse than underground. And listen, you know, you got to, I'm sure you agree with me. I didn't see much arguing from the Democrats on renewing this ginormous budget and slamming through, you know, what I consider illegal rules. As part of it, like raising the smoking age to 21. Look how fast they did that as part of a budget bill while people are getting macheted, shot dead wherever they are, and they're still debating, you know, gun control. They're still debating background checks. But man, you know, a couple of stupid kids smoked the wrong thing and bingo, nobody smokes under 21, but hey, you can enlist at 17.
Another horror they slipped into that bill. I don't know, do you read Pam Martins?
No, I don't. I don't know who she is.
Wall Street on Parade?
No.
It's called the Secure Act. This is going to hit the middle class that has IRAs right in the head. Right now, the way it works, if they have an IRA, and if the holder dies, the surviving spouse gets the IRA.
Right.
When the surviving spouse dies, it goes to the children.
Mm-hmm.
Except what we're going to do now, which just allows the children to build their own decent pension, they're going to force the children to withdraw more money out of it, so it's all gone in 10 years.
No, I didn't. I didn't know that, but you know, I'm sure you remember Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster. Bob died a few years ago, but he used to be on my show once a month, and his predictions on the economy were dead on. And one of the last few shows, he said, make no mistake about it, they're coming after your IRAs, and then they're coming after your Social Security.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you know what?
Oh, yeah.
People
it's like
say,
this nonsense about Medicare for all, that people want choice. If they like their, it's assuming that they have health insurance, if they like their plan, they can keep it. Who the hell loves
nobody
their plan?
Nobody. Listen, from when I was, my very first job was in the insurance business. I was about, God, I want to say 14 years old. And I bounced back and forth from the insurance business to the fashion business, probably for my whole work life. My last job, of course, I was probably, Jesus, I don't know, 35 or so, was also for the, in the insurance business. And it was all personal lines, which, of course, is your house, your car, your health insurance, your life insurance, all of that. Never once in all the years did I hear anybody say, I love my insurance company.
Yeah.
So even these people that are arguing it, like, you know, senile Joe Biden, he's wrong. I've never met anybody. And let's go beyond that, because to me, my real problem with this, Bev, isn't just the insurance, the health insurance, but the shitty health care we have in this country.
Yeah.
More women are dying now giving birth than probably in the dark ages in this country. If you happen to be a black woman, guess what? You're going to die even in larger numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Go to the doctors, they don't know what the hell they're doing. They prescribe a drug for you. You know, I heard from some lady yesterday, I guess she broke a vertebra in her back, and the doctors put her on OxyContin. What they didn't tell her is Oxy could just knock your breath away when you take it. So she immediately couldn't breathe. And she asked me my opinion, you know, what did you do? And I said, I've never taken pharmaceutical drugs. For some, whatever reason, she must have thought that I was, you know, somehow used OxyContin. And every time I've gone to my doctor, and the few times that he did prescribe something, the side effects were worse than what I went for. So I just stopped taking it and went into natural stuff and healed myself. So, you know, if you're going to spend, you know, what do they say? They spend with you, you know, 3 minutes with your doctor in a visit. And all they want to do is give you the bum's rush out the door. Where is the care in healthcare?
That's because they're caught up in all this damn paperwork.
Right.
And the doctor's spending time on phones with some clerk in an insurance company to get permission to do whatever. Mm-hmm. That would all disappear under Medicare for All.
I know. Listen, I did a show years ago on universal health care, and the expert, I don't remember his name offhand, he made it very clear it would actually save money because everybody would have the same insurance card, and
right.
Everybody would have the same coverage. You know, I say, right. Why don't we all have the same coverage that we afford to Congress?
My one cousin is talking about having a knee replacement.
Mm.
So I said to her, well, why don't you come down here and have it done? Then you can stay with me. Because I said, there's going to be a long period of physical therapy and whatnot, you know.
Right.
She can't. Her insurance company won't pay for that.
Well, that's the other thing, you know.
And it's going to cost her $4,000 out of pocket.
It's crazy. And most people that have a knee replacement, by the way, say they still have pain and problems with their knee. But if you wanted to go for stem cell treatment to cure your knee, which my sister has done in Florida, which actually works, they don't cover it. So this is America. Listen, we have to take a short break. Stay with us. Bev and I will be right back. Hi, Maria here. And I have a message due to the pressure of the times we're living in. I'm calling on all students and millennials to get the education they need to fight the fascism taking over our world. I've made a special subscription offer for students and for seniors on a limited budget. For just $9.99 a month, you can subscribe and get that education. Over 500 hours of real education that's necessary to understand the world, the problems, and the solutions. Remember, knowledge is power. Together, you can change the world, but to do so, you must be informed of what's really going on and have real facts to support you in your endeavors. It's time for all the grandmothers to take a stand and teach the younger generation what their life could be and how to get there. Help me help you. One person cannot do it alone, and the guidance you seek is right here at www.maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. Your generation is the generation we've been waiting for, so let me help you. Thanks for listening. Okay, welcome back to the show. I'm speaking with Bev Conover of IntrepidReport.com. Please get over and check out her site. Donate to people who actually are in it with you. We're in it with you. We're on the ground floor, just like the rest of you. We don't have fancy advertisers. We don't have big corporate money behind us. But thankfully, because of that, we don't have any censorship, and we bring you the truth. So if you know people that are looking for the truth, there's very few sites that I would recommend these days. And Bev is always at the top of the list.
And donations surely would help.
Right. Now I wanted.
I run such a tight ship here, it's not funny.
Hey, me too, you know.
The other week I lost my monitor. I had to replace that, so.
Exactly. And then people don't realize a lot of that is coming out of our pockets.
And I don't take corporate money, I don't take foundation money, and I have no advertising and no paywall.
Great. So, well, I got to tell you, listen, I've been doing this for 20 years, and, you know, luckily for me, I have some people that have been with me the whole 20 years, and I appreciate them, and when they get down and they got financial problems, I extend their subscription for free because I tell them I'm in this with you. I struggle every month to pay my bills. You know, I'm not Oprah. You're not Oprah. That's for sure. Thank God.
No.
But let's get back.
I can't pay the writers. I don't get enough money in to help them.
Right. But listen,
I don't take any money for myself.
Right. And we all do this because we must, because we are true patriots, because we care about future generations. You know, you look at Trump, you look at his tax benefits for the rich, you look at, you know, 80 environmental laws he's rolled back. He doesn't care about the next generation because he's already intimated, I'm going to be dead, so I don't care. The bottom line is, though, why not?
It's a mindset with them. That clip that they were playing last week from, what's her name, Jane Porter, the congresswoman from California, when Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan was before her committee, and she pointed out she went through a woman who worked for for J.P. Morgan. What she got for salary, she went through all the bills that this woman has to pay every month. Mm-hmm. And every month, this poor woman is $500 in the hole.
Right.
And she asked Diamond what he was going to do about it. He has to think on it. It didn't occur to him, raise her salary?
Right.
See they are just cut off from us.
Well, I
and every time you turn on the so-called television news, and even the corporate newspapers, they tell us how great the economy is doing. It is not doing great. People have been hurting for over 40 years.
Right, and deliberately, they've deliberately stripped everything away.
And more people are sleeping in the streets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, Trump blames that on Nancy Pelosi and the governor of New York.
Yeah, right.
Now, you know, listen, even if Trump
A millionaire, multimillionaire, too.
Well, isn't most of Congress? So where's the representation? You know, these people have no clue what the average American goes through, and they don't care. But I do want to say this back to the story about your friend or your cousin who can't come to Florida because her insurance won't cover it. Here in Arizona, they've got a scam. You know, because of my insurance background, before I went on Social Security and Medicare, I really studied it, okay? Because one thing they taught us going through school for that is it doesn't matter what the policy says it covers. You need to pay attention to what they say are exclusions, what they don't cover. So here in Arizona, they try to convince everybody, and it's a very sweet deal to people that don't do their homework. Instead of buying, you know, getting the regular Plan B and then buying a secondary policy, which you can pick any doctor you want, go wherever you want, they have something called Medicaid Advantage Plan.
Oh, they're terrible.
And all it's doing is taking advantage. But they give you a free gym membership, which very few people are going to use over 65. But you're not covered outside the state. So that's probably, and there's very, very little coverage in it. It's like a stripped down version of Obamacare. And I warned people, you know, because a lot of my friends were starting to turn 65. You do not want to buy that policy. And a lot of them asked me to help them, so I just took them to, I used a broker for that.
I have a friend who bought Humana's Gold policy.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about it. They were here for Christmas. It's awful.
Mm-hmm.
She has a eye problem. I guess we used to call it lazy eye. Mm-hmm. She's had it ever since she's a kid. Well, I had an excellent ophthalmologist, and she asked me to ask him if he could fix her eye.
Mm-hmm.
So I told him about it. He says, yeah, I think I can deal with that. When he heard what she had for insurance, he doesn't take that.
Right. And that's the gold policy, right? Gold. The only gold is in their pockets. You know, the only advantage is they're taking advantage of you.
Costs Medicare more than straight Medicare. So the insurance companies are filling their pockets on Advantage plans.
I know. Well, listen, insurance has always been a racket. And I've watched it through the years. And I'm glad that I was in the business because, you know, at least I know how to shop my own insurance. But I remember a time when we didn't have insurance, Bev. Do you?
No, I don't, really.
Okay, well, I'll take you back.
My dad used to talk about getting yourself insurance poor by buying too much.
Well, I remember when insurance wasn't around. Okay, when I was a kid growing up in Brooklyn, we're looking at the 1950s, 1960s. There was no health insurance. If you got sick, you called the doctor. He came to your house. I think the highest bill he ever charged my parents was $50. sometimes my grandmother or some of her friends would trade, instead of money, they would give the doctor food or a chicken or whatever. And I know that sounds crazy in Brooklyn, but we did have a chicken farm down the street. But even when my sister was in junior high school, it was probably the early 60s, and she broke her leg. My father had no insurance. My sister was in the hospital for weeks. She had broken her leg in three places. When they sent her home, she had a cast. They sent a tutor to the house. All of this was done basically for free from the school. But the total bill for weeks and weeks of her being in the hospital was $6,000. And they gave my father a payment plan with no interest.
Yeah.
Okay.
My husband got salmonella once up on Cape Breton in Canada. And I wound up taking him to the hospital there. Emergency room doctor saw him. When he said to the doctor, "What is he owed?" The doctor said, "Would $2 be too much?"
Right. $2. Right. But, you know, I lived
and
through...
And then Blue Cross Blue Shield got a small bill from for the use of the emergency room.
Right.
But we can't afford that here, right? No, no, no. How are we going to pay for that? But we can pay how much for more weapons for war?
Exactly. Well, we have we've got trillions to give to the corporations and the rich. You know, there was no problem passing that tax cut and his tariffs, which even the Federal Reserve said has proven to not have helped any Americans. And, you know, the super rich got a 25% richer last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
While everybody's still working for minimum wage.
I'm not against anybody with talent who makes money.
Mm-hmm.
But how much is enough? These billionaires, I mean, how many cars, boats, planes, and houses and whatnot can they buy? And, you know, they cannot see from the end of their noses.
Right.
They do not grasp that when the rest of us are broke, we're not going to buy all the junk they want to sell us because we have no money.
Exactly. I've said that for so many years, you know, consumer spending. Well, you got to have money to consume. Okay, so if you're going to pay people minimum wage, I was looking at one state this week, I forget which state it was, that starting next month, their minimum wage went up 10 cents an hour.
Yeah, that's Florida.
Oh, it's Florida, of course. 10 cents.
Hey,
I'm like, don't spend it all.
What are they going to spend it on?
Right, don't spend it all in one place.
You can't even buy a candy bar anymore for 10 cents.
I know. That's another thing I tell people. Listen, my very first paycheck, I worked part-time after school, was $13. And I can tell you, with $13, I bought a gift for all six people in my family and still had enough money to get back and forth to work the next week.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you tell me what somebody's buying with $8.50, if they're lucky to be making that, because in some states they're lowering the minimum wage. How do they expect people to buy all these overpriced, overtaxed, tariffed goods now coming into the country? And people want to say, oh, this was the best Christmas ever. No, 9,000 retail stores are closing.
I'm sorry. But, no, they can't even afford to rent an apartment, a one-bedroom. No, this is wrong. This is horrible.
Well,
the cop doesn't give a damn because they're just cut off from it.
Well, they're not
they
just
don't
cut
understand
off.
It.
I'm sure you watched the documentary series The Family about the religious fanatics that have control of our government and always have. But these people honestly have convinced themselves that unless you're wealthy, you don't have God's favor.
God.
And the rest of us are trash. In other words, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the Gentiles need to die. It doesn't matter if they're poor or whatever. God doesn't favor them because they're not rich.
Another thing that got me this morning, yes, anti-Semitism is wrong. Anti-Zionism is another issue.
Right.
Because, I mean, that's evil. But that's, you know, But here they're going on about the shooting at the rabbi's house up in New York.
That was a stabbing.
What about all the other people who have been suffering?
Right.
The Mexicans, the Muslims, you name it. Mm-hmm. There's not a day that goes by. Do you ever look at the Raw story?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 20 years worth. I still
well, every day they've got practically something where some white person is slurring, shouting at a person of color.
What about that?
You know, we didn't mention that.
No, of course. Well, listen, you know, when they said never again, they, I guess they just meant for them. And, you know, if you honestly believe
no,
that you...
Wrong. I mean,
I'm not saying that
I
it's not.
I can't hate. I mean, hate is...
All right, but we...
It just takes all the energy out of you.
Right.
When you can better use it elsewhere. I do not hate.
I don't either. But here's the thing. You got at least 10,000 children in cages in America.
Exactly.
You know, and there was Melania going around doing her Christmas thing, you know, with the wealthy children. And I'm like, why isn't she visiting the kids in the cages in her husband's concentration camps?
Oh.
You know, I'm sure I'll be kicked off social media.
Don't talk to me about that woman.
I figure I'll be kicked off social media again sooner than later. But, you know, when you look at who would have ever believed that this would be America when I was a kid? All right, I believed all the hype. I believed all the myths about our country as a child. You know, I just thought we were the best country on earth.
Well, some people have predicted it. I predicted it for years. And every time I would say it to somebody, look at the mess we're in. And, oh, well, it'll work out. No, it hasn't worked out. It's worked down.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it has. So let me ask you this. Do you think that there's hope in 2020 that we could turn this around?
It all depends. First of all, of the Democrats, Bernie I like the best because he's consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And what he is saying is not evil socialism. Democratic socialism is not evil.
Mm-hmm.
It's leveling the playing field.
Absolutely.
But if he can make it, if the Democrats don't sink him again, and he can make it through the election, he will need a Congress that he can work with.
Right.
Otherwise, don't hope for too much because it is not going to happen. And especially if Biden gets in. Oh, Lordy.
Right. Well, what do you think about the Republicans? Do you think, because a lot of them are up for re-election. If we can get the likes of Jim Jordan, Mitch McConnell, Susan Collins, the rest of them out, do you think...
Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful?
That would be, this would be a Christmas miracle. And Susan Collins all of a sudden now is starting to question Mitch McConnell's position on the impeachment.
Yeah, I saw that this morning.
That's probably because she's tanking in the
polls. But you can't trust her.
No, you can't. Look what she did with Kavanaugh.
And same with Biden. Have people forgotten? He's responsible for Clarence Thomas sitting on the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think people, to a degree, too, are overwhelmed. As you say, so much has happened in such a short period of time, trying to digest it all and make sense of it, especially for those trying to stay alive, survive in this horror.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow they have got to wake up. We the people hold the power. There's more of us than there are of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that them are using everything they can against us. I mean, look at what the police are doing.
Right.
Then they declare protesters are now terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is awful. This, I just don't have words for it. When I try to write something, I freeze. I mean, where do I start with this?
Mm-hmm. But it's deliberate to keep us in a state of chaos. I mean, there's so many people that say they're literally worn out by politics. Worn out. Trump has worn them out. But they can't afford to drop out now because that's what they would want.
Well, it's not just Trump. I mean, this politics thing never stops anymore.
I know.
Every day, my inbox gets filled up with pleas for money for this candidate, that candidate, this Democratic group, that group, some other group.
Mm.
And meanwhile, the rest of us who are trying to hang on, It's killing the donations that we might have gotten.
Exactly. And these people have more than enough money to pay
their
own bills.
What are they doing with it?
Obviously putting it in the bank offshore. They're not putting it back into America, that's for sure. I mean,
down here, this Tom Steyer, it seems he has commercials on the air every couple minutes, every time they have a commercial break.
Well, yeah.
It's his money, but...
Right. Well, between him and Bloomberg...
Citizens United has to go.
Right.
There's got to be limits on what they can spend. I mean, look at Britain. I know Johnson's another nutcase, but
right.
They only have a 6-week campaign.
That's what we need.
What's
here?
What's wrong with that?
It's like we go from election to election. There's no break in between.
Yeah, it doesn't stop anymore.
I know. It's terrible. And I'm sick of it. And believe me, my email box is loaded with junk every day, at least 300 of them. You know,
yes.
I don't know how much email you get, but I'm good for like 300, 400 emails a day. And most of them are garbage. But it's like, if you have so much money, what are you asking us for money for? You know, didn't you bleed enough out of us?
Oh.
But they said that even the TV stations had to admit that they have never seen ad spending in any campaign like what they're seeing between Steyer and Bloomberg.
Well, they love it. I mean, they're raking in the money, and then they're spewing out the money from one end, and then at the other end, they spew out the propaganda.
Right. Well, I blame the media for putting Trump in office, too. They had a big part in it.
Oh, definitely.
And they still
cover
him.
They gave him.
Right, and Twitter, too, that continues to allow him to have an account, no matter what he does or who he... Today, he was ragging on Chris Cuomo and Tom Cruise.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So I said, you know, this guy's...
Yeah, Fredo won Cuomo.
And I'm like, I guess this guy doesn't like anybody that's good looking because he's such a dog, even though he says, you know, do I look like a guy who needs to pay hookers? Yes, you do.
Oh,
it's all you've married, so it's all he can marry,
yeah,
so what the hell?
The only thing I can think that we got is... You got to keep laughing, because if you don't, you're going to go crazy.
Absolutely.
And I know people who are driving themselves crazy.
Well, lucky
and
my...
I keep saying to them, look, just keep laughing.
Right.
It's not funny, but...
No, you have to. Listen, I mean, you know, lucky for my listening audience, I have a good sense of humor and a lot of satirical wit, just being a New Yorker, let alone Italian. So, you know, when I give them the news, I do get a lot of compliments. You know, you give us the worst news, but at least we can laugh through it. Because if you stop laughing, you're going to get sucked into the pus.
Right.
And that's just the way it is. But, Bev, I do want to thank you for all your years of work. You know that you and I already know, will continue doing what we do until we no longer physically can. And I wish you and, of course, Intrepid Report a very fruitful year, because we deserve it.
Oh, same to you, Maria. I mean, you work so hard, but at least you're getting some of the truth out.
Well, it's listen, I was born this way, so I don't think I'm going to change anytime
soon. I know, we can't help it.
No.
I keep saying to myself, why am I doing this?
I
can't help it.
I know, I've been saying that for 20 years, and yet I'm like, who else is going to do it? That's the answer I keep giving myself. Who else is crazy enough to continue doing this? But you know what? It's not just because I'm a mom and I have grandchildren. I look at everybody's little babies when I'm out and about, and they're the reason I keep doing what I do.
I look at them too, and those little kids, and they're so cute.
Right.
And I'm saying, what the hell kind of a world are you growing up in?
Well, you know what? Like I say, when I leave this planet, I want to leave with clean hands.
The same thing with all the people being killed everywhere because we're killing them. I mean, I don't know how many people think of the Iraqis every day and the Yemenis and the...
God.
I just think of all of them.
I do, too. Everybody has a right to live, and it's a God-given right. It's not just whether it's in your constitution or not.
And there's hardly any discussion anymore about all the little kids that are in the cages here, you know.
Right.
That was yesterday's news. Who cares?
Yeah, I talk about
it
every day.
And those children are going to grow up horribly damaged.
Damaged? And then you're going to have a world of terrorists. So, you know, what kind of future is that? So, Bev, I will talk to you next year.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. But you take good care and have a great New Year's.
You too.
All right.
Thank you for having me on again.
Always a pleasure. We'll talk soon. Bye.
Bye.
Bev Conover, intrepidreport.com. Listen, there's a few of us grandmothers around that are still doing what we know how to do, being true matriarchs. Support the few, not the many, because your life depends on it and future generations do too. Next week, I'm going to have Douglas Sirignano on the show. He's got also an excellent book called American Conspiracies and Cover-Ups from JFK all the way through to the present. So you'll want to stay tuned. If you're going out tonight, be careful. If you're going to drink, take an Uber and stay safe. And I'll see you guys next time.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.